What's happening, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer, and the question I'm asking today is Tyreek Hill out, bruh? I'll attempt to answer that question in addition to some more questions, a first-year interruption with Mick Cronin, and the top 10 goosebump moments of the week. Good little show for you today, so who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
So is Tyreek Hill out, bruh? The word bruh in that sentence, in that question, probably looks a little weird, but those are Tyreek Hill's exact words from his post-game press conference after the Dolphins were eliminated from the playoffs largely in part to a great performance from Aaron Rodgers, although if they won, it wouldn't have mattered anyways. The Broncos would have still been ahead of them as the Broncos made the playoffs. But in his post-game press conference, they talked to Tyreek, and he said, "I'm out, bruh. I'm out." Basically telling him he's not going to be back in Miami to translate for Tyreek Hill there. He kind of did the Jimmy Butler a little bit. What's up with the Miami guys and wanting to get traded? I don't know. But he kind of did that. He's like, "I feel like I'd be happier anywhere else. I want to be on a contender. I want to win a championship." So initially, it kind of seems like, yeah, Tyreek Hill is out in Miami. But he's not a free agent. He's still under contract. So it would have to come via a trade in order for him to be out, bruh. But like I said, still under contract. He did at one point, and I don't know if he still has his profile pic, but the fact he did it at all is interesting. He changed his profile picture to a shirtless Antonio Brown doing the peace sign. Of course, Antonio Brown infamously retired in one of probably the greatest retirement of all time. Ripped his shirt off, did some jumping jacks on the sideline, and just said peace. And Mike Evans couldn't stop him. He tried to talk him down, but he's out. But who obviously needed some talking down from a Dolphins perspective was Tyreek Hill. You obviously want to keep him. Maybe not the fastest receiver in the league anymore, but undoubtedly still one of the best. Still had a great season with subpar to very bad quarterback play. But according to the Dolphins GM and to Tyreek Hill's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, they may have smoothed things over a little bit. The Dolphins GM said Hill did not request a trade in a recent meeting they had, and that they had, quote, productive conversations. So sounds like maybe Hill will stay in Miami. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, also said that he is committed to the Dolphins after a positive meeting with team brass. I don't know if I've ever seen the word brass used like that, but I really like it. Trying to expand my lexicon, as it were. I recently added lexicon to my lexicon, so I got to add brass. You know, I knew it was an instrument, but now I got to figure out, I guess, team brass. The brass is like the administration. I don't know. I'm not very smart, as you can tell if you've listened to any of these podcasts. And I'm getting a call from... Hello, is this about the laundry? Okay. I'm in the midst of a podcast. Is it okay if I... I don't think they can hear you, but I might just leave this in awkwardly for the listeners. That's all right. I think I'll have some decent clothes, and yeah, I'll make sure to switch the laundry. No, it's all right. If you couldn't tell from that conversation, that may not have been my father who told me, "Don't reveal that you're doing this podcast from your parents' basement," which I respect. You know, he wants to make it look a little more official. But if anyone knows me, I only have 35 subscribers, so I feel like most people probably piece that together by now. So sorry about the brief interruption there, and I'm even more sorry for not just making a cut. But I'm not one take Drake anymore because he's not a good guy, from what we've heard in diss tracks. But I only do one take. I try to do as few cuts as possible. And this is stuff that all should be cut. But is Tyreek Hill out, bruh? To answer that question, I don't think so. He would have to continue some more antics a la Jimmy Butler and force his way out of Miami via trade. But according to his agent and the Dolphins GM, he is not out, bruh. So let's get to my next question. What's the word? Let me answer that for you. Bird. Bird is the word. That's a Family Guy reference, as well as a is a song called Surfing Bird reference. You know, the bum mau mau ba ba, that song. But bird is the word. But speaking of a guy who kind of looks like a bird, Carson Beck. This is the word on him. He's actually entering the transfer portal, which is surprising to me because I think he was a top five quarterback prospect. He probably would have been a first-round pick, although due to the injury, maybe that slid him back. So maybe a smart decision by Carson Beck here to try and use his last year of eligibility here. Apparently, the University of Miami, the U, is the favorite here. They will need a quarterback after Cam Ward has entered the draft. Opted out, or I don't know if he opted out or what happened, if the coach benched him, but did not play the end of the Pop-Tart Bowl. So, you know, I think Carson Beck's sitting here maybe wishing he didn't have to play in the Pop-Tart Bowl that was the SEC Championship. No, I just like ragging on the SEC. We very well could have an SEC team in the championship in Texas here in a moment. But, yeah, Carson Beck, I guess he's opting out of the draft, entering the portal. So trying to see if he can better his draft stock and maybe become a top 10 pick the year after this. What's the word otherwise? The Los Angeles Chargers have signed Zeke. Okay. I guess you need a guy, you know, with J.K. Dobbins banged up and I think Gus Edwards even banged up. Good goal line guy, short yardage guy, good locker room presence. Not a huge headline, but that is the word out of L.A. And in San Fran, in the baseball world, the San Francisco Giants have signed Justin Verlander to a one-year, $15 million deal. He is 42 years old, still playing baseball, still a good player. They wouldn't pay him $15 million for nothing. The nine-time All-Star, I don't know if he'll be the Giants' ace, but if he's not their ace, he's one of their better players overall. Don't think the Giants can compete with the Dodgers, but you got to try somehow. So throw some money at a veteran pitcher and we'll see if that sticks. Other baseball news is the Reds have traded for Gavin Lux. They traded for him via the Los Angeles Dodgers, I believe. Don't have much to say on Gavin Lux. I think he had some moments during the Dodgers playoff run. Good player. Don't expect the Reds to compete with my Milwaukee Brewers. Let's talk some more NFL with this next question. Who got fired? The answer? Everyone. Everyone got fired. Just to name a few, Gerard Mayo, Doug Peterson, Antonio Pierce, Tom Telesco, Ryan Grubb, Gus Bradley, Ron Carthon, Nick Sorensen. I'll be honest, I did not know all of those names at first, but Gerard Mayo I knew was maybe not a nepotism because he wasn't like Steve Belichick. That would have been, you know, if Bill Belichick handed over the reins to his son. But, you know, he got there as a former Patriot. He's kind of being scapegoated here. He didn't have a whole lot of talent on the roster. You know, Drake May was running for his life the whole season. Defense wasn't much help either. But Patriots, I guess, want a fresh start. They've interviewed another former Patriot, Mike Vrabel. I guess if it doesn't work the first time, maybe try a different former Patriot. Although Vrabel has exhibited coaching success in his past, so that's a little more, you know, realistic as a, you know, long-term coaching candidate. But I'm not going to talk about all the coaching searches. I'm not really that interested in all that. I'll just kind of talk about the hirings as they go. But the firings, to continue, Doug Peterson, he's out in Jacksonville. Great move for the Jaguars. The only thing that could have made this a better move is if they had fired him way earlier in like week six. But yeah, good for them. Doug Peterson, you know, salt of the earth. I'm sure I haven't met the guy, but he's a Super Bowl champion. So, you know, maybe I'm being a little disrespectful here, but wasn't going to done in Jacksonville. Smart move from the Dolphins there. Excuse me, the Jaguars. I always flip-flop names and watch the podcast after the fact and just stupid, you know, punch myself in the head. let's keep going. I hope I'm not getting too hoarse here, although I do feel a little hoarse coming off of a little bit of a bug. Maybe not, hopefully, the norovirus, which is going around. But the other fire, Antonio Pierce. I love Antonio Pierce. He seems like one of the better coaches, but Raiders not getting it done this year. Maybe, you know, Antonio Pierce getting out of here is paving the way for Shedeur Sanders, who I've been saying, I've been telling people Shedeur Sanders is a Raider for months now. Maybe we get a little father-son duo to Oakland. You get Shedeur Sanders somehow. Somehow he falls to you at pick four. Or some, I forget what the Raiders have. I think that was actually the reason Pierce got fired in the first place, is because he wasn't good at tanking. I think they liked him as a coach. Again, it's like the Gerard Mayo situation, maybe the Doug Peterson. It's not like he had the most talent in the league to coach there. Yeah, but Pierce is out because I guess he didn't want to intentionally lose a game, and probably for the games he lost unintentionally as well. But let's get it done. Prime time and Shedeur Sanders, Mr. Rolex in Oakland. Get Dion and Shedeur. Get another, I don't know if it's, I guess it'd be a reunion because you go from Colorado to Oakland, but that'd be interesting. And who will not be making the decision is Tom Telesco, a guy I didn't know his name before he got fired, but he's the Raiders GM. The interesting piece there is we're being told, I have sources, those sources just being information I see via my cellular telephone device. I have sources that say Tom Brady will be heavily involved in both the GM search and the coaching search. And I'll be damned if he doesn't give some input on whether he thinks Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or, you know, Jalen Milroe will be a better prospect. It'll be interesting who's the, you know, the other guy, the guys in there without Carson Beck. But yeah, that'll be interesting. We'll see if it's a good idea whether or not to give you know, slight GM control to Tom Brady, but he is a 7-time champion, so maybe you should heed what he says. Hopefully I use that word correctly. Another firing, Seahawks offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb. Not a lot to say there. Didn't know the guy. Don't know the guy. Hope he, you know, lands somewhere else and keeps making money coaching. But evidently the Seahawks were not happy with their inability to have a consistently good offense. They had flashes, but weren't consistent over the season. The defensive coordinator for the Colts is another guy who got fired, Gus Bradley. That is a name I've heard. He's been around the league. I'm sure he'll still be in the league in one way or another. But yeah, Colts are going to strip it to the Bolts soon here if they can't figure something out with Anthony Richardson, who I love, who I'm a huge fan of, but he was not getting it done at quarterback, nor was Bradley at DC. Here's another one, Titans GM Rand Carthon. Not much to say here. Titans have been lacking talent in certain areas, mainly the quarterback position for some time now. Carthon couldn't get it done. They're bringing someone else in who might be able to get it done. And then the last guy I'm talking about here who got fired is the 49ers defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen. Kind of makes sense here. Their defense has been their strength. Not like their offense was at full strength this year, but usually their defense would be able to, you know, carry them along and get them to the playoffs, but not this year. Apparently the 49ers hope to retain him on their coaching staff. I feel like that'd be so awkward. It'd be like, hey, Nick, you're being demoted. Like, do you have you? I feel like you, Nick Sorensen, would have to like accept another position. They'd be like, "Hey, so you're fired from DC, but we would love to have you as the D-line coach." Very awkward situation if he ends up coming back. And then last note I had here on this coaching carousel. It's kind of like that carousel in Squid Games. People are just getting sorry, dark comparison there. But last thing I had is kind of funny, is the Bears wanted to interview Mike McCarthy. They asked the Cowboys to grant them permission to interview him. The Cowboys said no. Jerry Jones said no, that's my guy. And I think that's the end of the Mike McCarthy hot seat talk until next season. Because if you didn't even want him to be interviewed, clearly you want him to stay on your team. Jerry Jones denied him. That's his guy, Mike McCarthy. Who should not be your guy based on this lawsuit that I've learned of recently is Skip Bayless. He does not seem like a guy you want around anyone, really. I don't know if anyone heard, but there was a bombshell story, a bombshell lawsuit about Fox Sports 1, the network that Skip Bayless used to be on. I don't believe he's still on FS1. I think he does an independent podcast at this point. But he's being sued, as are a few other people, an executive. I think Joy Taylor, another anchor, might be getting sued. But the guy at the center of it all, who seems like was doing the most effed up stuff, was Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless, known pundit for decades, had one of the best sports debate shows ever with First Take and Stephen A. Smith. And he might not be smart, but he knows how to get someone's gears grinding. He knows how to, you know, he knows how to pick a fight. That's why him and, you know, Stephen A. were so entertaining for so many years. But why am I talking about Skip Bayless' career? That was just an introduction to anyone who didn't know Skip Bayless. But he did some effed up stuff. I don't know her first name, but someone by the name of Miss Faraji is suing him and a number of other people who were involved. But like I said, Bayless at the center of it all. So I'll just read it directly from the frontofficesports.com article, because this is crazy. This is some crazy shit Skip Bayless did, what he said, what he tried to do. But here's from frontofficesports.com. Bayless became more and more aggressive over the years, according to the lawsuit. He allegedly offered Faraji $1.5 million to have sex with him and claimed he could, quote, change her life. The suit also claims Bayless accused Faraji of sleeping with Shannon Sharp, his co-star on FS1's Undisputed. As the lawsuit alleges, approximately 1 week later, Mr. Bayless made another advance at Ms. Faraji. Ms. Faraji responded, "Skip, stop, you have a wife." Mr. Bayless responded, "Aren't you Muslim? Doesn't your dad have 3 to 4 wives?" Ms. Faraji responded that her father was dead, and when Mr. Bayless looked taken aback, she made an excuse to leave. Holy shit. If you're laughing right now, don't feel bad, because I FaceTimed my boy Nemo, host of Nemo and the Clownfish podcast, but I FaceTimed him, and we were kind of reading this article together, and we were both just kind of dying laughing, not because of the situation. You know, it's fucked up. There's a dollar for the F-bomb jar right there. It's fucked up what happened. Excuse me, $2. It's effed up. But we were laughing just because of the sheer ridiculousness of what Mr. Bayless is saying. Like, aren't you Muslim? Doesn't your dad have 3 to 4 wives? Why would you care if I'm cheating on my wife? That's an objectively insane person to say to any... insane thing to say to any person. That's an objectively crazy thing to write in a movie script. You know, that's so messed up. And we were just laughing at the sheer, like, ridiculousness of what Skip Bayless allegedly said here. But I don't know, based on all these allegations and the lawsuit, offering someone $1 million to have sex with you and then saying some fucked up shit like that, lock him up. Skip Bayless should be in jail, as I add another dollar to this F-bomb jar, which has become a jail for my money. We're almost at $50 here total in the F-bomb jar. Auntie Julie's charity is still pending. But yeah, put Skip Bayless in jail. To answer my own question, he should be in jail. That's sexual harassment and probably a myriad of other different charges here that he's going to face. That really sucks for Ms. Faraji that she had to go through that. Skip Bayless, you're a sick fuck. Oh, that's another dollar. Okay, I apologize about this section of the podcast to all those who prefer to abstain from poverty. It's just how I talk sometimes. And I want to be as candid and genuine on the show as I can be. I'll be candid and genuine for this next lackluster transition to this question. Have any records broke? Not that I'm reading it, I don't know if that's correct grammar there. But yeah, a couple records broke. This one's not a record, but the Broncos broke their 9-year playoff drought. That's breaking something. It's not breaking a record, but it is breaking a drought. I think the last time they're in the playoffs, they had Peyton Manning. Now they got rookie newcomer Bo Nix, who I'll admit I have not given enough respect to in his rookie season. He's been incredible. And he helped them break the drought. If Jaden Daniels wasn't in the league this year, he would have been a shoe-in for the rookie of the year. But Jaden Daniels is in the league this year, so keep that in mind. But we did have a couple records being broken. One was Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers set a New York Giants single-season receptions record. He didn't set the rookie record. He had the most receptions in a single season ever by a Giant with 109 receptions. What a year from Malik Nabers. Seemingly the best rookie receiver, although someone who could contend for the title of best rookie receiver is actually a tight end, Brock Bowers. And that's because Brock Bowers also broke a record. Not only did he break a Raiders record, like Malik Nabers broke a franchise record, Brock Bowers broke Malik Nabers' record. Because I think Malik Nabers, with that number, also had set the rookie receptions record at 109. But Brock Bowers has the record for most receptions ever by a rookie with 112. What a year from Brock Bowers. Probably played with 3 or 4 different quarterbacks throughout the year. Didn't skip a beat. He looked just as good. He looked better than he did at his last year in Georgia when he was just dominant as can be. He's that guy. I think Brock Bowers is, he's baby Gronk. Not that baby Gronk you see on social media. He's the real baby Gronk. He could, if he stays healthy, could have a Rob Gronkowski type run. I think he's that good. He's a little smaller than Gronkowski, but he's way faster. So he's quite the talent to watch. If you haven't seen Brock Bowers, he's must-see TV. Last record that got broken here actually did not get broken. It got tied. Mike Evans, he tied Jerry Rice's single season, or not single season, he tied Jerry Rice's record with 11 consecutive 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Mike Evans, first ballot Hall of Famer. Kudos to him there. Let's move on because this podcast is going a little longer than I kind of wanted it to. So we'll answer this question next. Who's injured? Unfortunately, one of my guys, one of my Green Bay Packers. Yes, I own them. I'm a part owner. I'm not actually. I need to buy a share. I have season tickets. But this is why the podcast is going so long, these stupid tangents. But horrible loss for the Packers. You pray for Christian Watson. It was really cool to see Jalen Johnson, you know, got down on the turf and prayed with Christian Watson after he tore his ACL. But yeah, not only a tough blow for the Packers for not having him in the playoffs, but for next year too. I don't think Watson will be able to come back week 1. And yeah, he's had a lot of injury concerns his entire NFL career. So it's just tough. It's that sucks for Christian Watson. It sucks for the Packers. Hopefully Romeo Doubs can step up and dominate the Eagles this weekend. But that's going to be a tough game. What also should be a tough game is Steelers-Ravens because Zay Flowers has been ruled out. He will not be suiting up for the Ravens in their wild card run, in their wild card matchup with the Steelers. Excuse me. I'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to pick all these games, but apparently David Montgomery is not injured anymore, or he won't be injured next week. Apparently he should be back for the divisional round, so that two-headed monster of Sonic and Knuckles, of course I'm referring to David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Sonic and Knuckles are apparently going to be in full force, or at least, you know, Knuckles will be 80% and Sonic will be in full force. So big get for the Lions there. Another injury is Blake Corum, done for the year. Shouldn't have a huge impact on what happens in Rams, Vikings. Kyron Williams is the number one. Corum had a good year, but he's the backup. So hopefully that doesn't hurt the Rams too badly, because I'll be rooting against the Vikings. And then another injury is Jordan Love has an elbow injury. Apparently he's questionable, maybe. I don't know. I was at the game, so I couldn't really see what happened. But I don't know. I was told he got hit on his funny bone. Hopefully he's ready for this matchup with the Eagles, because this is it. This is the toughest opponent you could have possibly gotten round one, and you got him. The Bills might have something to say about that. But as far as the NFC goes, no one wanted to see the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not excited to try and tackle Saquon Barkley, or I should say watch my favorite players try and tackle Saquon Barkley as I sit on the couch vaping. I did order zero nicotine vape, though, so trying to get that done. But last who's injured answer here is Jared McCain. I think we knew he was injured, but it was announced he's done for the year. That really sucks, because he was an early contender for Rookie of the Year. He was balling for the Philadelphia 76ers as player 385, a.k.a. Goosey from Beast Games, would say. So tough look for the Philadelphia 76ers there. And yeah, tough for McCain, because you would have been cool to see him go on a little Rookie of the Year run there. But let's get to first-year interruption. This week's first-year interruption is with Mick Cronin. Mick Cronin, that's a pretty cool name, I think. I don't know, that's interesting. But basically, he's the UCLA basketball coach. He had a fiery press conference after they, I believe, got steamrolled by the University of Michigan. He had a fiery press conference calling out players, calling out maybe even his assistant coaches. This guy's pissed. Mick Cronin was not happy with the effort and I think what he called the lack of passion. So here's an interesting little 2-minute snippet from UCLA Bruins coach Mick Cronin. Thanks for interrupting us today, Mick. Here he is, UCLA Bruins coach Mick Cronin.
Obviously, they shot the ball well. But we don't play. We're soft. You know, we're too soft to play hard enough. Even in the crucials, you can't get an offensive rebound. You know, it's like a 5-point game, and Kobe Johnson just has a guy take the ball from him. Same thing with Sebastian Mack. Okay, we finally do get a stop. Can't get a defensive rebound. They didn't have a million of them because they didn't miss that many shots. But there was a few. In particular, Kobe, Sebastian, huge, back-breaking. And you got inside position. You got inside position. So don't tell me you want to win. Like, just don't tell me you want to win. You won't start the game. Tyler Bilodeau gave up 12 points. Two screens, he didn't say a word, threes, and then he got scored. He got dunked on three times. So don't tell me you want to win. We're soft. Yeah, aside from, to be fair to you, obviously they have a unique skill set, the way they shoot the ball, but we're soft.
You obviously came back and took the lead. Do you feel like ran out of energy?
I have to run on the court to get guys to play hard. It's crazy, you know, and it's every day. I'm tired of it. It's every day. I have the most energy of all of anybody at practice every day. I'm upset with everybody in that locker room, my assistant coaches and my players. I mean, I don't need to do anything else. I almost got 500 wins. I'm only 53. You think I'm coaching the Lakers? I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. But yet I come in and I have more passion and energy and pride than everybody in. That's the problem. I mean, it's just that is the truth right now.
That's pretty crazy. I didn't watch that game, so I don't maybe have the full context of everything that he's talking about, but just like none of them played with passion. You know, I have more passion. I have to run on the court to get these guys excited. You know, I'm unhappy with everybody in that locker room, players, coaches. He named some players by name, called them out. Even saying, yeah, the assistant coaches let me down. He was basically saying, I did my job. Everyone else failed. He's like, I've got 500 wins, man. You know, you'd think I should be the head coach of an NBA team. But wild stuff from Mick Cronin here. I don't know what that was. I think he truly believes that he did nothing wrong and his players failed him, because otherwise he would not say that kind of crazy shit. Unless it's a crazy stunt to, like, kind of motivate your players and your coaches. But I don't know. I feel like they just kind of would picture it as you throwing them under the bus, and you're, like, not a coach who supports your guys or who can, you know, defend your mistakes in a press conference. But I had to make that the first year interruption this week, because that's an all-time rant. Dude, I've got 500 wins. I'm the only person in practice who shows any passion. I'm the only guy in the court. They don't care about this game until I scream at them to care. Crazy stuff from Mick Cronin there. I don't know. I just found it so interesting. I don't have any insightful commentary as per usual. But we'll hit a vape and we'll call it there on first interruption segment. Let's get to the goosebump moments of the week. Everybody's favorite moment of the week. Let me throw in a quick caveat here. I won't be using any moments from, like, today to tonight. You know, we had some amazing moments in the Orange Bowl. There might be two or three of those in there next week. So those will be in next week's, because I already had the highlights ready and I was too lazy to go back and change them. So let's do it. Let's do the top 10 goosebump moments of the week. I'm pissed I had to put this team in there. I had to include them. But at number 10, I do have the Chicago Bears. Cairo Santos hitting a 51-yard game-winning field goal to beat the Green Bay Packers. Congratulations. These Chicago Bears are your 2024 Super Bowl champions.
Good snap. Good hold. The kick on the way by Santos, and it is good! The Bears' losing streak comes to an end on the final play of the regular season.
Number 9, Mike Evans with an 8-yard catch to tie Jerry Rice's record.
Playoff if they close this out, but Mike Evans is 5 yards away from Jerry Rice's consecutive 1,000-yard
record. Could have cost him the game,
record.
But I guess.
So that's why they're looking
the
to throw it here.
Get it?
Mayfield throwing Evans. He's got it. He ties it. Jerry Rice has company.
That's some Brett Favre taking a dive stuff. Come on.
Hurdle over.
Number 8, Miles Sanders with a walk-off 1-yard TD in OT.
Handoff. Sanders! That's a winner for the Panthers! Carolina ends the season with a victory in Atlanta.
Number 7, Devin Royal with a vicious dunk to force overtime for Ohio State.
Down to 4, down to 3!
Poise from John Mobley Jr. Late in the clock to stick with it.
Number 6, Mijalil Potate. Potate with the and one for the win.
Kid. Potate scores with 2.7 and a foul.
Butchered that one.
About the poise of the young freshman Ben Hammond with the great pass.
Number 5, Mariota to McLaurin to lock up the 6th seed for the Commanders.
End zone shot for the lead. It's McLaurin. He's got it. Washington is in front.
Number 4, Nia Robertson hits a crazy game winner to give the SMU women the win.
Stumbles and scores with a second to go. No shot. SMU, its first ever road win in the ACC.
Number 3, Elliot Cadeau's 4-point play wins it for UNC.
Cadeau, 4-3, he's fouled! He has a chance at a 4-point play! He's tied it, and the Tar Heels can surge ahead with under 5 seconds.
Number two, Nelly Jr. Joseph hits the game winner for New Mexico after a ridiculous sequence of events. At the buzzer, no less.
Here's Dent, spinning, false, and he gets it to Joseph at the buzzer. And it's good for now. Absolute chaos in the pit. For now, it's a game winner.
Number one moment of the week, Trae Young drains the buzzer beater from half court as the Hawks win a thriller.
Got it, a busted play, and the young Bull saves it.
Yes, he does.
Trae Young, oh!
Well, they're going to look at it, but that's what he does, Bowler. That is what he does.
Trae Young, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm seeing if I have any singles. I do. Are you fucking kidding me, Trae Young? That's insanity. Oh my goodness, bro. I love a half court. I love a buzzer beater. There are few things I love more in the world than a half court buzzer beater for the win. But let's finish out the show here. I'm going to go rapid fire with some picks. We are doing the Super Wild Card picks. Apparently... And I don't know if this is official. Let me plug in my camera before we die. Well, not we, but the camera. I'm going to do them rapid fire, super wild card picks. But apparently, I guess, I don't know if the NFL did this or who's in charge of this. Is the president that changed it? But apparently, they changed the name back. It used to just be called Wild Card Weekend. For the last three to four years, it was called Super Wild Card Weekend. But apparently, they changed it back to Wild Card Weekend. But fuck that. Yes, I do have another single here. Super Wild Card Weekend sounds so much cooler. So let's, as a people, as a nation, let's agree to keep calling it Super Wild Card Weekend. Because that's so much more fun. That's so much cooler than Wild Card Weekend. So here they are. Here are my Super Wild Card picks. First game on Saturday. The Texans are always in the slot no matter when or where they make the playoffs. They're on the first game on Saturday. But the Chargers are actually road favorites. So Chargers -3 at the Texans is what Vegas has it at. I agree with Vegas. My pick is going to be Chargers -3. Josh Palmer is out for the Chargers. You know, but they have all their receiving threats. J.K. Dobbins, Quentin Johnston. They're both questionable. That could be tough for the offense, but it's Jim Harbaugh brand football. I don't think a position player missing here or there will impact the game. I like the Chargers to win that one outright. I like them to win by, we'll call it a touchdown. Next game is Steelers at the Ravens. Ravens are 9.5-point favorites at home in Baltimore. I do like the Ravens to win this game. Russie Wilson has been looking a little sussy Wilson recently. But I will pick the Steelers to cover. I think it'll be a close game, so I got Steelers +9.5. I think the Steelers can keep it within the score, especially with Zay Flowers out for the Ravens. I guess the Steelers' right guard, Mason McCormick, is questionable for the game. But I don't know. Either way, I think the Steelers can stay within 9.5 points here. But I do think the Ravens will win the game. Next game, Broncos at Bills. Bills are 8.5-point favorites. I like that line. I'm going to take Bills -8.5. I think they're going to steamroll the Broncos. I looked. I didn't see any injuries on either side. That could change. That could be me not doing enough research. But looks like it'll be a healthy game. But Josh Allen is so much better than Bo Nix. Bo Nix is great for a rookie. But he's no Josh Allen. He's no MVP. Bills will have no problem with the Broncos in that one. Next game is the one I've been thinking about all week, trying to scheme up a way in my head to stop Saquon Barkley. I have no idea how you do it. This game is Packers at Eagles. Eagles are 4.5-point favorites. I'm going to take the Packers +4.5. I don't know if we win this game. I don't want to jinx it. I was trying to figure out how to pick this game because I want the Packers to win, but I don't know if I think we can because I don't know how to defend Saquon. But I figured if I take the Packers to cover, that's not jinxing it. That's just saying I think it'll be a close game. I think we'll be in it even if we can't win it. But yeah, it'll be tough for us to win. We have Jair Alexander out, nearly out for the year. Christian Watson definitely out for the year. Jordan Love is questionable with the funny bone. Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, Evan Williams, and Javon Bullard are also questionable. That's four crucial parts of our defense there. And with a weak defense, a banged up defense, I just don't know how to stop Saquon, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, and Jalen Hurts, who is, I think Jalen Hurts is also questionable for this game. But I would be shocked if both Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts would start. I think both of them are going to start no matter what. I think they'll play through the injury. A.J. Brown is also questionable, but I would probably lean towards him playing. Second to last game here, the penultimate game is Commanders at the Buccaneers. Buccaneers are 3-point favorites. My pick here is going to be Commanders money line. I like the Commanders to win this game outright. Buccaneers are only favorites because they're at home. Baker Mayfield's been playing great, but Jaden Daniels has a little bit of magic, a little bit of Team of Destiny vibes to him, if you will. They're always winning these thrillers. I think they win a thriller here on a Austin Siebert field goal. Former Badger starting right guard for the Commanders, Tyler Biadasz. He's questionable, as is starting linebacker Frankie Louvu. Those are the two injuries for the Commanders I found. Sterling Shepard, Tristan Wirfs, Logan Hall, Jamel Dean, and Mike Edwards are all questionable for the Buccaneers. That seems like they have more injuries than the Commanders. Bucks are more banged up than the Commies. Give me the Communists to win that one outright. I don't even need the 3 points. Just take a money line. Give me some more money. And we are finally to the last game of the Super Wild Card weekend, the Monday night game. We have Vikings at the Rams. This game would have been in Los Angeles, but due to the wildfires, it has been relocated to State Farm Stadium in Phoenix. That's where the Arizona Cardinals play. Thoughts and prayers to all the victims of the wildfires in California. Those look gnarly. They are gnarly. They're horrible, and they're ruining businesses and homes and churches and people's lives. So, I guess all I can really do is pray. I wish there was other ways I could help, but let's see. Sometimes that's all I can do. Praise God. But back to the game. Vikings are 1.5 point favorites at the Rams. I don't know if moving the site to Phoenix would change it. I don't know why it would. The Vikings would have already been road favorites. I think the Vikings will still be road favorites. Maybe they give them another point. But either way, my pick is Vikings -1.5. If it moves to 3, I'll take the Vikings to cover 3-2. Another former Badger, an offensive lineman, right tackle Rob Havenstein. He is questionable for the LA Rams. It'd be nice to have him. He's one of the better tackles you got in the league. I don't know. I think LA's offense could do some damage. I love Kyren Williams. I think Puka Nacua is arguably a top five receiver in the league, and Cooper Kupp is Cooper Kupp. So I do like the Rams. I think it'll be somewhat close. I do like the Vikings to win, though. I am a little worried, because it did happen last week, that Sam Darnold could turn into a pumpkin. But man, that Vikings defense is so good, they're going to have the Rams punting. It's the dumbest way I've ever ended a show.